It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Governor Walker delivered the final State of the State address of his first term as governor last night. The speech was heavy on economic themes, his record as a job creator, his plans for income and property tax relief, his priorities for a projected budget surplus. It was very light on social legislation in this election year. We're joined this morning by Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at the UW-Milwaukee School of Continuing Education and an occasional Lake Effect political analyst. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Mitch.
This was a pretty rosy picture of the Wisconsin economy that Scott Walker painted in this speech last night. In fact, the governor spoke almost entirely on economic issues in the talk. Why do you think the speech was so singularly focused?
Well, sometimes in America, we like to look down on politicians. We like to criticize politicians. So for you and me to talk about the fact that it's a political speech, I don't think is a bad thing. In fact, I think it's good when politicians act like politicians. Here's a guy who's giving his last State of the State. He's going to face the voters before the next possible State of the State. He's trying to lay out his record. Here's what I've done. Here's how I kept my promises. And so I think it was appropriate. If we go back 3 years when he first ran for election, he really ran as somebody who cared about creating jobs. You'd barely know he was a Republican, and you certainly wouldn't know that he was, let's say, pro-life or any of those other divisive social issues. So I think this is both perfectly a match with what he ran for and the match for how he wants to run for re-election.
And moreover, there was not an enormous laundry list of social issue kinds of topics that he raised. This was entirely this is what he wants to do with taxes. This is what he wants to do vis-a-vis job creation. This is what he wants to do in terms of jobs for people with disabilities.
Mitch, I really think you've put your finger on I guess you'd call it the Scott Walker approach. And that's that, yes, he's a Republican. Yes, he's a conservative. Yes, he's essentially Tea Party or talk radio. But that his political formula is he never talks about social issues. He only talks about creating jobs, putting money back in the pockets of hardworking taxpayers. By the way, I want to hear once about a non-hardworking taxpayer. It's almost like it's one word, hardworking taxpayer. He only talks about that. That's how he ran for election 3 years ago. That's how he's going to run for re-election. And frankly, that's how he's going to run for president. And so by never talking about those hot-button Republican-based social issues, he presents himself as a non-divisive Republican, a Republican who cares about what essentially Democrats said they care about, which is jobs and job security.
That and tax relief. He talked a great deal about income tax relief and property tax relief.
It was really interesting that he's putting all his bets on one side of the table.
This is the so-called blueprint for prosperity.
Mitch, I'm so old that I remember sitting in the chambers of the state assembly when Lee Dreyfus, the newly elected governor, who in 1978 he won, in 1979 he gave his first State of the State, he beat Martin Schreiber, and his theme was give the surplus back. And as it turned out, history was not on his side. As it turned out, there was then a recession in 81, 82. Governor Dreyfus had to add a fifth cent on the sales tax as a temporary measure. Then Tony Earle made it a permanent. But I so flashed back to it. And I know that Scott Walker is a very good politician, and he would know about those kinds of stories. But clearly what he was doing is he's all in. I'm going to give the surplus back. And he's willing to take the risk that either the economy goes south or the structural deficit gets bigger. I thought that's a pretty breathtaking kind of decision. And it really shows you, again, what his political philosophy is and where he stands ideologically.
Well, and it's also one that's already gotten kind of a mixed reaction from people in his own party. Some Republicans have been pretty cautious about this in terms of whether cutting taxes further is more important than hanging on to a surplus and dealing with a structural deficit. Is there some potential political cover anyway for the governor here that he has the luxury of being able to prepare oppose these things regardless of whether his own party is even going to side with him?
Mitch, I really think you're onto something. And what I'd like to suggest is that in our lifetime, the meaning of the word conservative has changed. And I guess you'd say the old meaning of conservative is to be conservative with money, to be fiscally prudent. And so the kind of voices that we're hearing from some state senators who are Republicans, and by the way, they're veteran Republicans. In other words, they remember history. The kind of talk that we're hearing about, whoa, there's a structural deficit coming up. Let's pay down the deficit. Let's be prudent. Let's not give it all back and then regret it. I think that's the old meaning of conservative. And when you describe the speech of Governor Walker essentially saying cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes, that's really the new meaning of being a conservative. And I think this is very reflective of what's happening in Washington, where to be a conservative is to cut taxes. You almost don't care about anything else and regardless of the consequences. And furthermore, there's a kind of a subtle thing about starving the beast, because let's say Scott Walker cuts taxes too much, and let's say going into the next biennium there is a significant structural deficit. Well, to Republican conservatives of this new meaning of conservative, this is a wonderful bonanza. Why? Because it justifies cutting spending even more. So I think what we're seeing is how much of a new conservative Scott Walker is versus an old-fashioned conservative.
What stood out as missing from this speech? You hinted at this a little bit, but I don't recall any legislative priorities referenced that did not involve taxes or funding. I know the Journal Sentinel, for example, had editorialized a few days ago that they would hope he would take on something like redistricting reform. None of that was in the speech.
None of that was in the speech. This was a very Republican ideology speech. This is how they see the world, and this is their values. And so he didn't talk about any good government reforms. The word Milwaukee barely passed his lips. I counted twice. He named some companies that people worked for, and the word Milwaukee was in their title. But he didn't talk about Milwaukee. He didn't talk about African Americans, even when he talked about the state pension system. Now, who cares about the state pension system except people who are public employees? And I should state that I am a public employee.
And as am I.
But he packaged the good pension system for public employees in Wisconsin as a thing that will attract private sector businesses.
At this stage, his presumptive opponent in November is Mary Burke. He, of course, did not refer to Mary Burke by name in this speech. But was the specter of Mary Burke lurking someplace?
I think very much so. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. That's where we started our conversation. We should want politicians to be politicians because that makes democracy work. It gives us choices. And for example, I think it was interesting that when he started his speech, first he introduced winner of the Medal of Honor. But then the very next group he introduced was his wife and sons and parents. And I sort of wonder if he's trying to draw a comparison on a personal level with Mary Burke. Mary Burke happens not to be married, happens not to have kids. I wonder if he's trying to say, I'm a family man, and I understand what you, the struggling middle class, is facing, because I've got boys who are going to college. And then the silent refrain is, not only is she a millionaire, but she's not married, she doesn't have kids, she doesn't have to worry about college tuition. So I think that might be, again, part of the very effective Scott Walker formula to say, I'm like you, I understand you, I'm going to talk only about economic issues, and I'm not going to talk about other hot-button social issues.
Mordecai Lee, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee's School of Continuing Education, a former Democratic state legislator, and author of several books, including Promoting the War Effort, Robert Horton and Federal Propaganda, 1938 to 1946. On to national politics, we discuss the recently passed federal spending bill with Congresswoman Gwen Moore when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.